Temptation is always a very mysterious thing. Now, we take a look at, say, the prime temptation, the first one, when we talk about the story of Adam and Eve, the book of Genesis. Here, God created them. He created them out of the dust of the earth. He formed them, breathed life into them. He created this absolutely beautiful place where they wanted for nothing. Everything was there. A beautiful garden, plenty of food, whatever they needed, it was all right there. And God said to them, but there's only one thing you can't do, and the tree in the middle of the garden you can't touch. Well, they're human beings just like us. They have free will. And I guess somewhere along the way they had to decide, are we really for God or are we not? Do we listen to him or do we listen to somebody else? Well, strangely, this serpent came in Satan came in the form of a serpent and somehow was able to convince them that in spite of everything they had, and it would be theirs, and one day they would die and be forever in eternal life. All this was right there for them. And he said, but if you just taste this one apple, you will find out. You'll be like God. So here are these people that God just made out of dust. I mean, informed them into a human being. He breathed life into them. And all of a sudden, that's not enough. They want to be God. They want to be like God. And so the consequence is all the rest of us suffer temptations in our lifetime. But you know, we don't seem to learn. I mean, not all temptations are the same. We know that. Some are very minor things that you know, we just shrug off. Others can be very persistent and very nasty and very demanding for attention. And those are the ones that can be the difficulty. So you have a person that has a good job. Everything is going well, has a nice family, good reputation, all this kind of stuff. And one day, somebody says to him, well, you know, I took one of these and nobody ever said anything, so I guess it's all right. And so you think, well, yeah, I really would like to have that particular product. I'm going to spend the money for it. So I decide one day to take it home. Well, I'm the one that got caught. So the consequence is I get fired from my job. My reputation as a very honest person went right down the tank. My family was angry with me because I did such a stupid thing. So there are consequences. There are consequences. It's like the kids. In today's world, it's very tough, especially when they get with the groups with kids that are maybe not of the same moral standards that they're accustomed to. And so, but to be one, everybody likes to be one of the crowd. And so their buddies say, well, you should really try this. You know, it's just a small thing. It's just a pill, or it's just a little bit of a drug, or, you know. You should just try it. And so they keep after you. And in your mind, you know better. You know that your parents have talked to you about it, that it's dangerous. It may not affect you badly, but you don't know. I remember years ago, I used to work in a parish surrounded by a Catholic university. And one day this young man came to see me. He came from a very blessed family in California. Very devout people. He said his whole family had been very faithful to the church, very devout Catholics, very devoted. And they sent him to this Catholic university in Ohio because they thought that school could be a particular help to him in growing up. Well, his buddies decided to tempt him to try, in those days it was at LSD. And so he decided one time that he was going to risk it. Well, he had a bad trip. And he suffered the consequences for the rest of his life. He knew it was nonsense to even mess with that. I know it was stupid. I know it was crazy. But for some reason or other, I couldn't resist that temptation. The consequence is, for the rest of my life, I will be under treatment. So we think about those things and we say, when there's temptation there, do we really think things through? Or do we really have a reason to resist the temptation? You know, think about Jesus' temptation in the desert. He came into this world. Now remember, he's God and man, fully God and fully man. But as fully man, can he really know that he is also fully God and still be fully man? That's a question that has always been in my mind. How could he do that? How could you act fully as a human being when you know you are God? So somehow or another, that was part of the revelation that he came to realize. So he's in the desert fasting for 40 days, preparing for his mission, which is, he has one purpose for being here, is to redeem us, to bring the love of the Father to us, to forgive us for our offense against him through our first parents. And so that's his only purpose. He stayed very closely connected to the Father. Throughout the scriptures, he said before any major decision, Jesus always went off to the mountains to pray. And he would spend his days in deep communion with the Father. Because the mission he was going to do was going to be very painful and very, very difficult. And no human being is going to look forward to that at all. Even though they may know that by it, they will accomplish great good. But at the same time, nobody really wants to die and suffer. Nobody wants to do that. So here's Jesus. He's hungry for one thing, and the devil appears. That's usually when he appears when there's a need of some sort, or when you're just maybe down just a little bit, or maybe a little too comfortable, that's when he appears. And so the devil comes to him and says, look, this is what, why don't you just turn these rocks into bread? And Jesus remembered what his purpose was. His purpose was only one thing, to obey his Father and to accomplish the mission that the Father gave to him, to bring the Father's love to our world and to forgive us. And he chose to do that by his own suffering and death. So thinking about what his real mission was, Jesus was able to say to the tempter, get lost. And so he made it a little bit more appealing. And again, Jesus, thinking about his Father and his love for his Father and what the mission was that the Father gave him to accomplish, he told him, get lost again. So I guess we kind of look at these examples and we say, how? Well, I think, first of all, we really have to have a reason to resist. Say, a husband or wife who is maybe tempted to flirt with somebody else. Maybe they think they have a good relationship, but somehow or another, they just have this temptation. It's that old devil working on you. Well, you should try it, you know. What's the harm? You love each other, yet nothing's going to happen. Well, you don't know that. And so if you take that risk, you can say to yourself, no, I really love my spouse. I would never do anything to be unfaithful to him or her. And so I have reason to say, get lost. Or I know that my God would never want me to do a thing like that. That God would never want me to harm myself or harm other people, even though I may be tempted to slap somebody on the side of the head for something. And you kind of say to yourself, God asked me to treat others with respect. I love my God. So I have reason to resist a temptation. But if I have no reason, if I have no values, if I have no firm belief in God, if I don't pray, if I have no communion with God, what motivates me? simply to say, oh, I did that. I was able to get by that test. And you might succeed in getting by for a while. But without God in your life, without a reason to resist temptation, it becomes exceedingly difficult. And especially when the temptations are really tough, really serious, and they're concerned very serious matters. So we look at Jesus and say, he's the model for us in everything. He had a very deep, committed relationship with the Father. He knew why he came into the world. He came into the world to save us. But he did that because he loved his Father, and he, whatever the Father asked him, he was willing to do. He would obey. He stayed in close touch with the Father so that he had that constant motivation, the constant love, reminder of that love and the support of, that the Father gave always. And that kept him, even in these most extreme, difficult situations, Jesus was able to resist. And so we need to, if I'm really tempted, what prompts me to resist? What is back there? Is it because God alone asked me to do something? Or if my, whatever, my love of a parent, I remember one guy told me one time that when he was in the military, he said, you know, he was young, very young, all kinds of opportunities for temptations, and they were probably all there. And he said the one thing that kept him going, he had a great love and respect for his mother. She was a very devout Catholic. And so he would say, he said to himself that she served as that reason why he behaved himself as a young Christian gentleman ought to do. So it might be worthwhile, say, to just look at ourselves and say, what motivates me to resist temptation? The best reason you can have is because God loves you. But if you don't know that, you need to pray. Because that's where we learn how to love and serve God. So one of the great things about Lent, it reminds us of the things that we probably already know, but sometimes kind of set aside. And the prayer is essential. If there's ever going to be any, it begins with prayer. That somehow God is always calling us, but too often we don't hear him. There's too much other noise going on in our world that keeps us from hearing him. But if we can make that connection, that the reason I live my life as I do is because I love my God. I appreciate what my Lord has done for me, and I would not do anything to offend. So if we can find out our makeup, what our best reason that we love God for resisting temptation, I think most of the time we can be successful. We're not going to succeed all the time. We're still people, we still sin. And that's what the consequence is sin. And somehow it affects not only us, it affects those around us, it affects a community. It can be very detrimental. It can destroy our own value systems. So we really need to work on, when I'm tempted, what is my reason for resisting? And the way we build that relationship with our Lord is through our prayer.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, life everlasting. Amen. Let's place before God our Father our needs and those of our world.
For all believers, that they may withstand temptation and follow the Lord's path, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the faithful, for the elect, catechumens, and for candidates, that they respond to the sacredness and challenge of this season of purification and enlightenment, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who are homeless among us, that we will continue to be aware of their needs and provide assistance through our generosity, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those whose thoughtless words and actions hurt others, that they be open to the grace of repentance and amend their lives, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the needs that we hold in the silence of our hearts,